And then as I was pulling into my normal habitual parking spot that I'd parked at for years, I was like, wait a minute. There's a new me, and I don't think those negative thoughts about that person any longer. I am dead to that. And so I'm parking over there because I'm going to so jack up and disrupt my normal pattern of just parking so that I am significantly more aware that I'm no longer going to think that negative thought. Hey, gang. Welcome back to another episode of the Lead Ministry Podcast. I am very grateful that you're here. I want to let you know that I like the podcast. I like doing this. This is actually a lot of fun for me. And, you know, someday maybe we'll talk about some of my values in a greater sense. But one of my values is fun. That's right. F-U-N. One of my values is fun. If it's not fun, I'm probably not going to stay with it. This podcast is fun. And what's also fun for me is when I, you know, maybe travel the country or something and somebody will come up to me at a conference and they'll be like, hey, you don't know me, but I feel like I know you. I know your voice. I listen to the podcast all the time. It's been this, it's been that. That is fun for me as well. Listen, I don't have to do the podcast. It is a choice that is born out of something that I like to do. So guess what? Thanks for helping this be like something that can be fun for me. I hope that it's fun for you. I hope that it's educational for you. I hope that your heart is encouraged and inspired. And you know what? One of the things that I want to do, that I've sought to do, is make a habit of gratitude and stopping and pausing and saying, you know what? I am, just yesterday, I sat on my couch and I said, you know what? Here's seven things that I'm thankful for. And that is a habit that I have and I want to cultivate it more. It's a spiritual discipline in my opinion. Well, guess what? Mr. Bill, we're back. We're talking about how to lead ourselves in an effective way. And one of the ways that we can lead ourselves effectively is by being the master of our very own habits.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think what people really need to know is that we are actually habit machines.
Yeah.
Even if we're not intentional about it, God has programmed us and built us to be habitual people.
That's right.
And if you don't believe me, just start observing your life for a little bit.
Yeah, it's quite true. It's quite
just
true.
Stop.
And one of the reasons, Bill, biologically, that I think, as I'm thinking about this, that habits are just a part of what we do is because it's an energy savings mechanism.
It is.
That we don't have to like at every turn go, okay, now make a decision, now make another. There is a thing called decision fatigue that you can wear yourself out because of the numbers of decisions that you're making. And so in a sense, for us, when we just do things on autopilot, through the habits that we have, it's almost like an energy savings mechanism. But guess what? There are some habits that are really fruitful, and then there are some habits that are really, really, really actually quite destructive.
Right. Absolutely.
Because we don't think about them. We don't think about them.
Right. And you can, there's actually a really great science behind this as well. The scientists have discovered that the more you repeatedly do one thing.
Yes.
AKA a habit, that the more you're actually building neurological pathways in your brain. That's why people can, it actually explains a lot of things in our lives. But for instance, it can actually help explain why people, if they've struggled with depression, continue to struggle with depression, because you've actually created a neural pathway in your brain that when you are triggered by a certain aspect of your life or routine of your life, as you carve out those roads in your brain, you naturally continue to want to go down those paths. And so it becomes kind of an autopilot thing. And so for anything in our life, we actually, in order to change those things, we need to create new neural pathways and disrupt the flow. And you can actually shrink the neural pathways of destructive behavior.
Yes.
And you can build greater and more establish roads or neural pathways in your brain for the things that you want to do.
Okay. So there's two pieces to this. The first piece is, hey, guess what? There are habits that you want to form. There are habits that you might want to break. It's just that simple. I do like, however, Bill, what you're saying in terms of the idea of a well-worn path. Okay. I was out for a hike a couple of Sundays ago, and all of a sudden I was like, okay, so either human beings frequent this path, or there are a bunch of deer that this happens just to be a little yeah. bit of a highway, because it was kind of beat down. And I was like, okay, well, clearly somebody's been walking this on the regular. And that's true of our neural pathways. We can have a well-worn path, and then we're going to slip right into that well-worn path. We just have to be aware, is that a well-worn path that's leading to a place that I want to go, or is that a well-worn path that's leading to a place that I don't want to go? That's right. The thing as it relates to this little podcast series of leading yourself. It's pausing and going, okay, time out. Do I even know what road I'm on? And do I know that that road leads there? Because I kind of want it to go there. In right. habits, these are the things that make it up.
Yeah, this is talking about being intentional yeah. with building the right pathways. And by the way, if you're in the woods and there's a path, what's the easier thing to go down? The one that's yeah. really well worn? Or is it easier to blaze a new trail in the woods? If you've ever walked through densely populated woods, it is extremely hard to get through all of the brush and the briar. But that actually speaks to this idea of what it feels like to begin a new habit that you need in your life. It is very difficult sometimes at first in order to establish a new habit. But when you blaze that trail and then you keep going down it day after day, moment after moment, what you find is that trail gets easier over time. And that's a really good framework for us to have yeah. as we begin to talk about habits.
Yeah. And again, you have habits that you don't know that you do. Let's get clued into those. You have habits that you want to keep. You have habits that you want to break. Well, let's jump into this a little bit deeper. Now, of course, if you've been a part of the podcast for any length of time, we like to talk about defining it. Number two, we like to talk about developing it. And then what in the world could you do with it? Like a practical application. So let's define this thing. Habits, as we are defining it, looks just like this. Habits are automatic behaviors or routines triggered by cues in our environment. And so it's an automatic behavior. And that's the interesting thing is that here's a great example. How many times has a listener been driving home and you don't even have any recollection of the 18-minute drive because you've literally been on, we call it, autopilot. So it's these yes. automatic behaviors or routines triggered by cues. Or in other words, you're going down this one road and you end up turning toward home, which you should have been turning toward the store, because that well-worn path is whenever I'm on this road, I just turn here to go home, because it's a well-worn path. It's an automatic behavior or routine triggered by cues. In other words, when I hit this stoplight, I always go left. Well, maybe you want to go right, actually. And so a habit, yeah. okay, I think we all get this. It's an automatic cue triggered. It's an automatic behavior triggered by a cue in our environment. So here's the deal. We have some habitual things. Habits, they shape our lives. We're going to go through these pretty fast. Habits shape our lives. I believe that we are more defined by our habits than we're actually aware of. In other words, show me your habits and I will tell you the path of your future.
Yep. There's a great quote for that one. That says, you are what you repeatedly do. I love that.
I think that it's the truth. And so in this little series that we're doing, Lead Yourself, can you be the master of your very own habits? Say that quote one more time.
You are what you repeatedly do.
Okay. So then let's be intentional about what we repeatedly do.
Yeah. Amen.
So this next one, habits are learned behaviors. Like it is, you are trainable. Oh, organism on planet Earth. You are trainable. mm-hmm. I am trainable. I have broken habits. By the way, guess what, Bill? Here's a random one. When I was first a Christian, and I'm talking 21 years old, saved, you know what I mean? Radically, kind of a Damascus Road experience. Maybe someday we'll have a podcast telling the story about how I came to know the Lord. It's very special. However, I had a big old capital P potty mouth. And yep. I was very accustomed to using swear words. And I must tell you, evidence of the Holy Spirit, because when those words, I became a Christian, we'll call that point A, and then point B, C, D, as I moved forward in my life, these words just naturally, habitually came out of my mouth. And I got to tell you, it didn't, the words that were coming out of my mouth no longer fit with the internal goodness that was going on. And I wasn't saying like all of a sudden it was just purely behavior modification because that's what I was supposed to do. It had nothing to do with that. What it had to do with is that the words that were coming out of my mouth no longer jived with the internal reality. It was a beautiful hunger for transformation. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And so I got to tell you, I was working at the Olive Garden of all places, and I distinctly remember, I was like, a word came out of my mouth and I said, wait a minute, I mean, and then I would replace that word with another comparable expression that didn't happen to be, you know, dark, sailor, you know, guttural language.
Yes, yeah.
But what I did is that I habitually would trade out that word. And so, mm-hmm. but by habit, I would say this word and I would say, oh, I mean, and I would say this word. And guess what? Over time, I actually started choosing the replacement word and not choosing the swear word. And mm-hmm. it literally worked. And I got to say, you know, sometimes, let's be real, there are times in my world, very rare, that the best expression that can communicate the English language sometimes can't communicate as effectively as a particular word that I don't use very often.
Right.
So I'm not shaming anybody, right? Whatever. Yeah. It's just not my jam. It's not my bag. It's not something that I feel comfortable doing. But the deal is that I changed. I actually created a new habit by inserting a new thing and by habitually saying, ooh, wait, I meant, and then I would say it out loud. So my kids, they always laugh at me and they're like, yeah, we know the story of you quitting cussing, Dad. We get that. So habits are learned behaviors. Guess what? Because they're learned behaviors, we can unlearn something. Habits can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And another one. Habits operate in cycles. Bill, speak to this briefly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it's interesting what happens in that you have a trigger for one of your habits.
Yes.
And often it leads you down a path and you complete a whole cycle of that. And then when that trigger happens again, you happen to go down that path again. And it's kind of like walking in a big circle over and over again. And so it's so important to know that your habits operate this way, because if you want to break a habit or you want to start a habit, this is how it works.
Yes. You actually have to step into the cycle. Let's go back to the random cussing thing for me. I don't want to make the podcast about my cussing or not cussing. However, I had to interrupt the cycle. And the way that I interrupted the cycle was choosing a different word. Very fun. Next one. Oopsie, not two at once. There we go. Habits require consistency, obviously.
Yes.
But they say, you know, we're not going to go down this road too far, but they say that 21 days is what it takes to get your body or your mind to almost accidentally choose that. Okay, so it's not accidental because we're trying really hard to do this repetitively for 21 days. What's happening though is that in this psychological and biological attempt at saving energy, that's what habits are in a sense. It's an energy savings thing that your body is like, we'll just go ahead and do that. We won't think about that. It takes 21 days for your body to all of a sudden hit that rut.
Yeah. And actually the latest science on that is 21 days is like a minimum for an easy habit. It can take up to 6 months to really establish a real, you know, life-changing habit in your life. And so I want people to be realistic about it, because I have done habits for 21 days and then reverted back. And I think the key there is if you have a habit that was parallel to your new habit, that has a bigger road and pathway than the habit you're creating, 21 days is kind of this little tiny tributary in your mind versus this highway that you've created. And so it's much easier to jump on the highway.
Yeah, let's speak to that for a second, because it comes down to, let's just go down that road, Bill, of like building a road. Like if this is a major road, it's going to take major construction. And if you literally have a 6-lane interstate and that's been your habit, you know, guess what? A lot of traffic has been rolling down that thing for a long time. It's going to actually take more than 21 days. It's actually like to deconstruct and reroute traffic and build another 6-lane interstate. That's a colossal undertaking. Right. However, it can happen.
It can. And it's so important for us actually to have that piece of consistency in order to do that. And it has this mentality of us being, well, I know that the highway is there. I know it is.
Yeah.
But I am actually choosing this new path and I'm choosing it consistently. And I'm not going to allow myself to jump on the highway more than once. You know, one time I'll jump back on the highway, but then the next time this decision comes up, I'm blazing my trail.
Okay. This is the important thing, because what happens is that it is a level of will. It's a willful, volitional act to go, not doing that, I'm going to do this. Now, earlier on, before we clicked record, I was sharing with you this bizarre thing that I have done in the past where all of a sudden I'm looking to break a habit. And I don't know why this happened. Maybe because my church environment was causing bad mental patterns, right? All of a sudden you get in these little mental patterns. But at church, what I would do is, if all of a sudden I was like, I am done with that, I am not going to think that thought, or I'm not going to speak that way, or I'm not going to operate that way anymore. And if you know me, when all of a sudden I've crossed a line, it's on. It's like that thing is dead to me. I am killing that. I am making a new pattern. So what I would do is that I would park intentionally in this really bizarre spot way the heck over someplace else in the parking lot. And then as I was pulling into my normal habitual parking spot that I'd parked at for years, I was like, wait a minute, there's a new me. And I don't think those negative thoughts about that person any longer. I am dead to that. And so I'm parking over there because I'm going to so jack up and disrupt my normal pattern of just parking, so that I am significantly more aware that I'm no longer going to think that negative thought. Does that make sense, Bill?
That's amazing, actually. What an awesome strategy for people who are struggling with a bad habit right now.
Yeah.
You need to examine your day and your normal routines and find out where you need to put the dynamite.
Yes.
And blow it up, so that you are actually cognizant of the new person you are trying to become.
Yes.
Or living out the principle that you want to live out.
For instance, it's like this dynamite thing. It's like I put a bundle of dynamite at my previous parking spot, and now there's this huge crater, which is a reminder, oh, wait, I don't park there anymore. Which, by the way, is a reminder that I don't think that negative thought about that person any longer.
Yeah, I love that. That's like super actionable, like right now. Like, what can I blow up that will actually allow me to get out of this negative pattern that I'm in my life?
And depending on how draconian and obsessive and committed I was, like I would do lots of random things. I'm not joking about this. Like I took this super seriously, and I would choose a different drive home, which was so awkward and I'd be like, nope, you are doing things differently. Now, this is a really radical one that I would do, if I really wanted to disrupt my own self. I would put my keys, which always go in my right pocket, and my phone and my billfold always in my left pocket, and I would switch them, and that would so disturb me and disrupt me that I would go, oh, wait, I got goosebumps right now. You are no longer that person. You are not going to think negative thoughts and have this huge mental drama about that person. You're a different person. And then the disruption of my ridiculous keys and billfold would cause me to go, what? Wait. Because, okay, wait, Bill, have you ever had that moment where you reach down and you can't find your keys and you literally freak out?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
It's actually quite scary. And so that is like dynamite. Like, I'm having a moment right now. That's like dynamite. When I switched those things, it was so jarring that that caused me to wake up from the habitual pattern of something negative that I no longer wanted to do. I needed to jar myself. And so whether it's parking in a different spot that causes me to go, okay, what now? And then the funny thing is that when people at church would be like, bro, what are you doing? You've parked in this spot for 3 years and now you park over here? What the heck is that about? And I'd tell them and they'd be like, whoa. Yeah.
You're a new you. You know, you're a new you. I don't park there anymore.
That's it. That's it. So habits require consistency. Habits can be contagious. In other words, other people saw me reworking a habit and it caused them to go, what? Really? Wow. Who knows? That could cause other people to want to change a habit as well. Habits are sustained in relationships. We're going to get into this a little bit later, but I think it's extremely important to announce to someone else that you are in habit modification mode. There's something extremely powerful about that. Also, habits can lead to compound growth. We will talk about this in just a minute. Bill, this is exciting. I love this idea of habits. How about this? Bottom line, big, huge takeaway, like microphone magnifier moment, you can change your habits. You can change your habits. Now, they're often can be quite difficult, but it is completely, completely possible. Okay, so great. We've talked about defining it. We've kind of identified that habits can be made, that habits can be broken. We've talked about these neural pathways. Okay, well, let's talk about now building habits. We're going to kind of go down this road. So, Bill, would you read this quote from Aristotle?
Yeah, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit.
Couldn't agree more. We are what we repeatedly do. And so all of a sudden, I have to go, does this particular habit, as it relates to leading myself, does this habit lead me where I want to go? Or is this habit actually an aberration and isn't leading me in a direction that I want to go? Habit excellence then is not an act, it's a habit, because we become that which we habitually do.
Right, absolutely. And it's like the smallest, simplest things that lead to excellence. It's crazy to think about. There are times where I'm about to leave home for the day. And I know this is one of your things. And I go, I got 5 minutes left. I'd rather just, you know, surf the web for a few minutes or check Twitter or whatever. And I go, no, I'm not going to do that. That would be the old me. The new me takes 5 minutes to pick up what's on my desk so that tomorrow I come in and I am ready to win the day.
I love it.
That's like the simplest, smallest habit. And you go, does it even matter? Because tomorrow I can come in and even though my desk is messy, I can still work. Yes, it absolutely matters because when you begin to stack those little tiny habits over time, you're not just doing something different. Mm-hmm. You're becoming a different person. You're becoming a person who cleans their desk and is organized.
Okay, Bill, I want to say that this is a true story, by the way, or a true statement. You said something on a previous podcast. Maybe you can put it in the notes or something. I don't know. But you said, you go, okay, what does a person who is succeeding at weight loss do?
Well, yes,
they would do this, then do that.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, this like that actually number of podcasts ago that truly affected me, that all of a sudden I thought, okay, because listen, I do got the COVID-19 pounds still 4 years later, right? And I'm like, okay, I put that into practice and I was like, okay, so what would a person who ended up losing in a healthy way 19 pounds, what would they do in this moment? Well, that person wouldn't eat that extra handful of nuts right before bed. Okay.
Right.
So then be that person.
Right.
If that person wouldn't eat those nuts and you're seeking to be that person and don't eat the nuts.
Right.
And so this is a piece to habit forming. And so all of a sudden, I think an important piece is, who do you want to be?
Yes.
And absolutely. Then defining, okay, I want to be the person who, well, what would that person do? Well, they would probably habitually do this. Okay, let's habitually do that. Kind of funny. So you've affected me, Bill. You made a big change in my life. Okay.
That's awesome.
This is a great quote that my good friend Preston Hocker has influenced me with. By the way, don't you realize, podcast listener, that you could be influenced by somebody else in your life, whether it's a Bill, whether it's a Preston, whether it's a Josh, or whether it's somebody else. You can actually be like epiphany and then make changes. Here's the quote. It says this: practice does not make perfect. Practicing perfectly makes habits. And then if we're practicing perfect, and then that forms a habit, we're going to be doing that habit in a more perfect way.
Yes, absolutely. I love that.
Practice doesn't make perfect, because watch this. Let's say that you practice something over and over and over the wrong way, then you're going to habitually do that thing the wrong way. So it's not about practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes a habit. Therefore, be very conscious about how you're practicing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so important. Bringing excellence to your habits and doing it the right way every way is going to build you into what you want to become.
That's exactly right. Couldn't agree more. Well, how do you go about doing it? Well, step one, what action, if repeated, will get me to my goal? That's step one. In other words, what you just said. I want to be over there. Okay, so if you want to be over there, what's the daily small thing that if put together in sequence over 900 days, you'll actually be there? Years and years and years ago, Bill, when I was first a Christian, and I had a lot. Listen, man, I had a lot of growth and remaking to do. I was being remade on the from the inside out through the work of the Holy Spirit. But there's also an aspect of me working towards that. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's both and, right?
I'm
in partnership. I'm in partnership with the Holy Spirit, and I do play a role. And one thing that I thought about was, as I was like, okay, this is one day in history. And Josh, you ultimately want like a super secure, well-built Christian fortress that you can live your life in. But you only get to lay one brick today. I got an idea. How about you lay that brick really well today? And you do look at the scriptures, and you do talk to God, and you do like the things that somebody who is living a successful Christian life would do. Lay that one brick today, because guess what? You cannot build a secure Christian fortress, especially from the lifestyle that I had been living prior to that. You don't get to build that Christian fortress in like 12 days. No. You just laid 12 bricks. This is going to be a 130,000 brick project.
Wow.
Here's an idea. Lay this one today, really stinking well, that it doesn't have to be tinkered with or adjusted. Or here's the converse. Yes, I want to lay that one well. The converse is, you didn't lay any brick today. Okay, that's a day lost. Mm-hmm. That's a day lost. You didn't get to lay a brick today. So, boy, it's been a long time since I've thought about that concept of brick laying. That's powerful for me even right now.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm just like trying to wrap my head around that. Like, that's such a great image, because that's so true. And it can take a long time of laying bricks before you look back and go, there's a wall there, you know?
Yes. 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 And so what action, if repeated, is going to get me to my goal? Now, that's just a super powerful one. Here's another one. Step two: when, where, how. When it comes to goal setting, which, take it back, a goal is achieved by a set of repeated behaviors, which probably are going to be a habit. Like, when might, is this going to be repeated? How, where, what? So me blowing up where I parked in the parking lot, that was a win every single morning and every time I'm going home, because I would habitually walk out this one door to go to my car. And I'm like, oh, stink. I don't actually park there anymore. And then that would totally disrupt everything. So when I had two opportunities, morning and afternoon, to be majorly disrupted. Where? Parking here or parking there. How? My feet had to find a new path and I disrupted myself. Now, Bill, this next one is really bizarre, but this is like the ultra practical podcast today, right? Like, okay, so I drink a lot of water and I used to drink quite a bit of coffee. And a coffee, of course, is a diuretic. Couple that with the idea that I truly have the bladder of a five-year-old girl. I actually had to go to the bathroom a lot. And so people would make fun of me. And so this will get to our something we'll talk about in a minute called habit stacking. But the interesting thing, Bill, is that I was like, I had to go to the bathroom. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm doing this a lot. What could I couple with peeing?
Yeah.
Because I'm doing this so much. So all of a sudden I was like, okay, well, every time you hit the urinal, review in your mind what you read from the Bible today, where that was found, and what that actually means for your life. Because we can all of a sudden get into a habit of reading the Bible. It's this isolated, contained incident that took place. And then we go on with the rest of our day. And it isn't really affecting our day. And right. So I thought, okay, well, bro, you actually are peeing a ton. So what if every time you had to go to the bathroom, you that is a habit, or it wasn't even a habit, it was just a necessity. But I was saying, this is going to happen frequently. What if I like put some glue on top of that and I created a habit around that reoccurring thing?
Yeah, I love that. That actually reminds me of, weirdly, that reminds me of the Shema. Where,
okay, wait, know, tell us what the Shema is for those who don't know.
The Shema is basically the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Jesus says it in the New Testament, but it's also in Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
And in that passage in Deuteronomy, it says that we're supposed to train our children to love the Lord their God with everything they are. And here's how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do it as you walk along the road, as you go about your life. You're supposed to put it on the doorpost of your home. You're supposed to put it everywhere. It's always supposed to be before you.
And so, a continual reminder.
A continual reminder. And so in a weird way, when you're going to the bathroom commonly and you're relating to yourself what you've read in God's word, you're training yourself to love God as you go about your day. So it's kind of a weird application because you're going to the bathroom and whatever. People are like, okay, weird, TMI maybe.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
But it's an amazing way to like consider how you actually do build this habit. And you chose one that was ultra important to who you want to be in Christ, which is
exactly
incorporating God's truth into your life in that way.
As opposed to like forgetfulness and like being like, well, I don't, what did I read in the Bible today? Okay, well, if I am forced to think about it every time that I pee, and I'm peeing like 19 times a day because I'm reviewing that. And so that was so it's called habit stacking, tacking on a new habit onto an existing habit. So another one is build a streak and tell a friend, right? Mm-hmm. Build a streak. And this comes down to the 21-day thing. This comes down to building a new highway. This comes down to to overtly telling people, actually, I'm choosing not to cuss anymore. And so I meant this. And then tell them your strategy, right? Or whatever it is. Or when people would see me like not parking here and they're like, what are you doing, weirdo? And so that's telling people I am on a new mission. And so telling people actually makes a big difference. Well, we're going to kind of round this off. Let's go pretty quick here, Bill. How to start, right? So we're talking about landing this plane. Of course, on the podcast, it's like, let's develop this. Let's do it now. We've developed it. We've defined it. Now let's land this plane. Habit action plan. Number one, choose one habit. Don't choose 15. Pick one.
Absolutely.
Pick something. We really can't multitask. We talked about that in a previous podcast. Pick one thing. Set a cue or a trigger, whether that's going to the bathroom or whether that's where you park or whether that's you're going to take a new route home. Cause a trigger. Blow it up. And then number three, plan the when and the where. Okay, when? Every single time I pull into my office, I'm going to park someplace new. Where? Well, I'm going to park someplace different, which is going to absolutely disrupt me. Focus on consistency. Do that one thing and be so obscenely committed to it that it forms a new habit, and you can break habits. And the fifth one, track it and reflect regularly. So people, you can change your habits. This is absolutely part of mastering your very own self. And that's kind of what we're talking about in this series, Bill, in Lead Yourself. You can actually master a pathway.
Yeah, absolutely. You can build a new road.
You can build a new road. That's exactly right. And by the way, guess what? You can blow up a road, which forces you to build a new road. Well, gang, super, super grateful. This has been fun. Hey, send us something. Send us an email. Send us a text. Put something on Facebook. Tell us how you are leading yourself in a more effective way, how you're disrupting yourself, how you are setting new habits. My best to you. We're grateful that you're here. And gang, set those new habits. Do something different. Be in control of where you're seeking to head. And gang, with that, we hope, by the way, as an aside, we hope that listening to this podcast is something of a habit for you. We're grateful that you're here, and we'll catch you on the next one.